This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Does the government like what you're up to on Facebook? From APM in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Next time you take out your smartphone for a game of Angry Birds or to check Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter, there's a chance you're not the only one who's watching. Documents leaked by Edward Snowden and published in part by The New York Times, The Guardian, and ProPublica show that the British and American governments could be tracking data from some mobile apps. To talk about it, we're joined by the BBC's security correspondent, Gordon Carrera. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why would the government, yours or mine, care if I'm playing, say, Angry Birds?
Well, I guess the question is, who do they care about? People, when they play games or when they use mapping applications, put in personal information. These applications suck out personal details about where you might be. And that's useful to intelligence agencies. They will say they use this against legitimate targets who might be using applications on their phone and who they might want to track or get information about.
You've got a real conflict here between part of the business model of these applications, where they'd like to know where you are so they can sell you mobile ads, and the government's purpose. They want to know where you are for different reasons. Do we have a sense of how consumers might react to this yet?
Well, I think that's what's really interesting about this, is that it raises many questions for the software companies that develop these apps as for the intelligence agencies, because, of course, people may not realize when they sign up for these apps, when they sign on those terms and conditions, which people often don't read, they often are giving away their data. That's what the spy agencies are intercepting. But, of course, it's information that the companies are collecting and often monetizing. And so this may highlight to people just how much data they are leaking, personal information they are leaking, and may make them more cautious about that because they don't want the spy agencies, but also because they don't want the tech firms to be using it. And I think that's just one of the ways in which all these revelations are causing problems for the technology industry.
Gordon Carrera, the BBC security correspondent, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tonight, President Obama delivers his State of the Union address. He's expected to focus, among other topics, on income inequality. But he's also said it's unlikely he's going to get a whole lot of support from Congress on anything. So if President Obama goes it alone, what could he do? Marketplace's David Gura reports.
President Obama couldn't raise the minimum wage on his own, but Heather McGee, who runs a liberal think tank called Demos, says the president is not powerless.
He is right now, as the chief executive, the biggest boss of low-wage workers in the country.
McGee is talking about federal contractors. She says President Obama could use an executive order to improve their pay. Researchers like David Grusky with Stanford's Center on Policy and Inequality say education is a way to level the playing field.
Simply identifying these poor kids who have tremendous capacity and talent.
Grusky says the president wouldn't need Congress to create a new scholarship program. Jared Bernstein with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities says the president would make greater strides with Congress, but
with zero cooperation, it's much harder.
He says another suggestion is
a rule change that the president could implement without Congress that would significantly increase the number of people eligible for overtime pay.
That would affect low and middle income workers who make a salary but aren't automatically eligible for overtime. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
One other thing you may hear from the president tonight is talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That's a global trade agreement, covers 12 countries, 40% of the world's economy. Getting it signed is a big deal for Obama and an important part of his Asia-Pacific policy. But if you thought the fight over NAFTA was bruising, Kate Davidson explains this could be a lot tougher. The Trans-Pacific Partnership has been called NAFTA on steroids, and NAFTA was already pretty brawny back in the day. So were the debates it produced.
I think it's going to be as challenging or perhaps even more.
Mireya Solis is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.
NAFTA left deep scars in this country. You know, American trade politics were very much influenced by the NAFTA debate.
But the TPP pushes more than traditional hot-button trade issues like outsourcing. NAFTA didn't touch the internet, but the TPP does. And during NAFTA, you didn't have WikiLeaks publishing drafts from closed-door talks, particularly on intellectual property. Myra Sutton is with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. She worries copyright protections in the TPP would empower internet service providers
to police users' internet activities. So therefore, they could block or filter or even spy on users' activities to supposedly enforce copyright.
The intellectual property leak also helped mobilize groups like Doctors Without Borders around patent protection. Judith Rius is with their Access campaign.
Many of the generics that we currently use for the treatment of infectious diseases come, in fact, from Asia.
She says the TPP would make it easier to extend pharmaceutical patents, decreasing access to cheaper generic drugs. Many generics come from India, which isn't in the TPP right now. But Rius says an agreement this big would create global norms for intellectual property.
So the goal is not only to change the laws on the 12 countries that are negotiating, but really to change the laws in the whole Asia-Pacific region.
We don't know what will be in the final text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. But Brookings scholar Mireya Solis sees another hurdle that didn't exist for NAFTA, Tea Party Republicans who like trade expansion but don't want to give Obama the discretion to shape it. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
We're going to break down the economics and finance of the president's speech into plain English tonight. So head on over to our blog on marketplace.org, or you can follow me on Twitter at Lizzie O'Reilly. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.